Christian kids are leaving is like literally taking my life into my own hands. It's like playing a bad game of Frogger or something over there. But anyway, good morning. We're talking about Jesus habits, and I'm excited to be here. I'm loving the one I get to talk about today, selfless service. What we're doing is we're going through our core values. We like to do that once a year, talk about CCW's core values. And so we thought we'd do this time is tie a Jesus habit to each one. And so I get to do selfless service today. I love the fact that Jesus was a servant. It's my favorite characteristic of him. And so what we decided we'd do is not do parables or lots of stuff in the Bible, but actual Jesus things, how he lived his life, situations he went through in life. So I get to do this one today. I'm super excited. Jeff started the series off 2 weeks ago, and he talked about, he just kind of introduced it all, did the overview, and he talked about some characteristics of Jesus that I'm going to touch on here in a minute. Josh did a great sermon last week. Talked about real relationships, and Jesus had real relationships. And I want to stop right there and discuss that for me, because I've done this in life, and maybe some of you guys have done this too, where you find yourself in a pickle, right? Something happens, tragedy happens, and nobody shows up. And that's kind of a weird feeling, and I've had that happen in my life before. And when I look back, it's because I separated myself from people. I got myself involved with some characteristics or some habits that I didn't want anybody to know about, and so I backed off, and I didn't have any real relationships. And so looking back, who should have shown up? Nobody even knew that I was going through something. And so I'm happy to say here today that I have many real relationships in this room, and I'm encouraged by you guys. I know for sure if something happens in my life, many of you will be there. Many of you will be there to also encourage me when good things are happening, and vice versa. And I see that happening all over the place. I'm super excited about the fact that we are a real relationship church. Jesus had real relationships. Remember, he had his 12 disciples. I love that. Mark chapter 3, he went out and he prayed to God, give me the right guys to hang with that we can live life together. And we have those here. Remember, we have Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Remember John chapter 11 when he weeps, when Lazarus dies, and then he raises him from the dead. I love the fact that he had people he lived life with. Super exciting. Jesus, when Jeff spoke a couple weeks ago, he talked about Jesus' compassion. It was one of the things I loved that when he broke that down. Jesus was a very compassionate person, if you remember. Jesus would talk to people nobody else would talk to. He would spend time and eat meals at people's house that nobody would even entertain going by. He would sit at a well with somebody he should not have been sitting in a well with in a country that most people wouldn't go through. He made a tax collector one of his disciples. Remember Matthew? I mean, Jesus was in the business of reaching out to people that most people wouldn't. He was compassionate. He loved people. I love that about Jesus. When we hear the phrase, go be like Jesus, right? You're going to hear that around here. Go be like Jesus. And that's our goal, right? We all want to try to be like Jesus. By the way, you guys that know me know I like to roam around here, so I feel like I'm in a little sermon prison here. So maybe I'll get out here eventually, but I love this. This is cool. We're talking about selfless service. So Jesus, when we think about being like Jesus, okay, there's a couple things we can't do. Like, we can't heal people, right? I mean, I can't make bread into a multitude of bread. I can't perform miracles. I can't look into somebody's mind. In fact, I'm going to escape from this cell here just for a minute. There's a lot of things we can't do like Jesus, but we can look at his characteristics. We can look at the way he lived his life and some of the people he spent time with intentionally, right? So some of the characteristics of Jesus are obviously love, right? Remember when he was challenged to break down all the Ten Commandments, which is the greatest one? He said, you guys are missing the point. If you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, if you love other people, the other stuff will just take care of itself. So Jesus was a man of love. He was a man of truth, and he was a teacher. He spoke truth. And I love the fact that he was a teacher because it means he knew God's word. And so if we want to be like Jesus, we need to know what God says. We need to be in his word. If we're going to spend time with these bunch of kids that were just up here, which, by the way, what a great service already, right? I mean, we had a near revival to start the place off, right? We had Joe, which, by the way, this is his birthday weekend, so I didn't mean to bring too much of that, but he's a guy that has more energy. For a 50-year-old man, he's got the energy of a 20-year-old guy. I want to be like him when I grow up. I mean, then we had Roger with a great message on communion, which is why we even show up here. So I love this service this morning. But if we're going to reach into these kids who will one day be our next CCW, we need to know God's word and how to teach them. We're going to talk more about that here in a little bit. But Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus balanced his time, right? And he was intentional about it. If you guys remember, right, every morning he would get up and he would go be by himself. He'd go get with God and prepare himself for what was coming for the day. And too often, I think we, as Christ followers, we get up and we just don't do that. And we don't, we get late or whatever. We hit the snooze button too many times. And now you get up, you're in a hurry, and you're in the middle of the day, and it's terrible. It's a rough day, and we wonder, what happened? Well, we know what happened. We didn't get ourselves mentally and spiritually ready to handle the day. And Jesus was intentional about that. Jesus, when somebody asked me to describe Jesus, I love to use this phrase. Jesus was humble but confident. He was humbly confident. Jesus knew exactly what he could do. He knew the power he had. He knew everything that he was capable of, but yet always gave the glory back to God. Right? I don't do what I say. I only say what the Father says. And I only do the things the Father sent me to do. He always turned that back to God. I love that about Jesus. How about this characteristic? Selfless service. Jesus was a servant. And I love to talk about this, because I think if you want to learn how to be like Jesus, the first thing we should try on is how to serve people. We're going to talk about that for a minute, but here it describes it perfectly. You ever heard of this verse? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. That was his purpose, was to come and serve. I love that about Jesus. So we're going to talk about that characteristic here. We're going to go to John chapter 13. I'll let you guys turn there. So if you're fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John chapter 13, this is his last act of servanthood before he goes to the cross. All right, catch you guys up here for a minute. So him and the disciples have walked a long way all day to get to this last meal. And so Jesus already set the stage, and we know there's not many people here. Maybe a cook, maybe, I'm not even sure, but it's very quiet. It's just him and his disciples. It's his last night free, and he decides, I want to teach these guys one last way. So if you're at John chapter 13, we're going to start right there in verse 1. Here's some pages turning, so I'll wait just a second. But this is typical of Jesus. One last lesson, and he's going to make it one on being a servant. All right, verse 1, if you guys are with me, says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were with him in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Some of your translations say that he loved them to the last, and I like that one better. Verse 2 says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Remember that verse. The devil's already prompted Judas. Verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, now stop there for a minute. That word so is like therefore. Have you guys ever heard the phrase, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to go find out what it's there for? So is like that. It's like a because statement. So knowing this, or having this just happened, therefore, or so, this. And this is huge. So he got up from his meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. This is huge. Drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So he decides, I know that all power has been given to me, and I'm getting ready to go home. My time here is done. My last decision now is to show somebody how to serve. I mean, think about that for a second. Of all the lessons he could have taught on his very last night, he decides, I need to remind these guys what I came for and now what your job is going to be. We're going to touch on that here more in a second, but that just to me is huge. So there's your so. I know all these things, so let's serve. I love that about Jesus. Love that. Typically, I got to catch up on this story for a minute. So typically why this is important is if you were going to host a dinner or some kind of a meal, what you would normally do is have the place all cleaned up, right, have some good food made, and then you would have a servant at the door to wash somebody's feet on the way in. So back in them days, you know, they had open-toed sandals or whatever. They had, you know, their feet were typically really grubby. They had bunions and whatever. Super gross. And they would show up to the house, and, you know, they didn't drive there in Fords because they wouldn't make it. They didn't, you know, maybe Chevrolets. But they didn't have paved roads. They didn't have all this stuff that we have today. So somebody needed to wash the feet. And why that's important is because when you ate a meal, you typically had like a blanket or something nice down, or maybe if you had some money, you had like a little elevated little table or something to eat on, 6 to 8 inches off the ground, but there was no big table you came to. So typically what you would do is maybe like kind of lean on one of your elbows and have your feet out, or maybe even had a pillow you could rest on, but this is kind of how you laid when you ate a meal, and you would just kind of pick off the table. So what that means is your feet are literally within stench's length of somebody else's face. And I'm not sure how long that is, but it's close enough if you haven't washed them yet, right? And so obviously they got into this room and nobody's there, so nobody's washed their feet. And so Jesus says, let me show you how this is done, guys. And so he goes and washes feet. So sometimes in our world, in our culture, we have these, look, I'm breaking free again. We have these jobs that we look down on, and maybe we should, whatever it is, and I've never believed in that, but so in today's culture, maybe you look down on, I don't know, janitors or ditch diggers or whatever it is, and it's not right. I've always believed, personally, if you're going to be a CEO of a company or if you're going to dig ditches, do it with the glory of God and do it the best, be the best one at it, and then give all the glory back to God. I've never bought into this one job's better than another because we have to have them all, and so I just don't buy into that, but here in this culture, obviously, at least 12 men said, that job's beneath me. I'm not washing feet. That's not my job. I got to come clean with you guys on something. So my job, in our homes, we have these same things, right? Sometimes in your homes, you have these jobs that you just don't want to do, and so you wait for your spouse or somebody else. And I got to come clean with you guys. In my home, that's doing dishes. For years and years, I hated doing dishes. And now you guys are like, oh, so what's doing dishes? But let me explain this. So when I was a kid, I grew up right around the corner here. We grew up in a little single wide trailer. It was like kind of all beat down, and we didn't have a dishwasher. No big deal, I get it. And my sister and I would do the dishes. We would take turns, and one would wash, one would rinse, and next week we would swap and whatever that looked like. No big deal, but years later, I wanted to go to Lake Aurora Christian Camp. You guys been there? Some of you guys have been there, right? I think a couple of you guys are going in a week or so, but it was a neat camp back then. But let me tell you something, 30-some years ago, it wasn't as nice as it is now. There was not some nice little cafeteria with air-conditioned rooms off on the top of the hill and, you know, juice dispensers and big dishwashers everywhere. It was a little old rundown place. And so how that worked was there was a little building, which is still there, by the way, kind of built into the side of a hill. And on the top was like the worship center like this, and you had classes and they had carpet ball and a lot of games. But on the bottom was where the cafeteria was. And in the corner of that building was the kitchen. No air conditioning. No, hardly no fans, no ventilation. Summer in Florida, you get it, it's hot. And so back then what they used to do is if you wanted to go to a week of camp, you could go and work for a week of camp. Well, I was all in. I wanted to go to camp. We didn't have a lot of money, so I showed up there for my work week. You get there on Sunday, not a big deal. They're having pizza out in the yard. You wake up the next morning, though, and here comes the fun. So you wake up at 6, so you can be in the kitchen at 7 o'clock-ish, something like that, because breakfast is at 7:30, or it was back then. And here you are preparing for breakfast. Now, I think that week at camp, every kid in the state of Florida showed up and was going to Lake Aurora Christian Camp, because in they come. And so back in the corner was the place where the dishwashers, which is what I got called to do that week, wash dishes, they would sit behind this little window, and everybody, when they got done, would pass their trays. Well, guess what? Everybody gets done at the same time, and here come 8 million trays and forks and plates, and they're all covered in syrup, and they're gross, and I hate it. And you'd stack trays as high as you could see them so that when all the kids left and they're off having fun, now here you are catching up washing dishes. So then guess what? You get done washing dishes, you're finally caught up, and you take a breath, and then everybody's like, okay, it's time to prep for lunch. And so here goes the cycle again, and it's just gross. And so you can imagine 5 straight days of that, I'm done washing dishes. I don't want to wash another dish. I made a vow to that day, I'm never doing dishes again. I'm eating with plasticware. I'm going to go out to eat a lot because when you're 15, you think you're going to be able to afford going out all the time. But whatever it was, I hated doing dishes, and I didn't do very many ever again. Fast forward a couple years later, I get married to my beautiful wife, and we kind of had an agreement that indoor jobs were hers and outdoor jobs were mine. And basically, she didn't mind that because she's a humble spirit, and so she washed dishes. But what I basically was telling her is, that job's beneath me. Ugh, yuck. Anyway, coincidentally, every time the dishes would get stacked up or the sink got full, I was always out cutting the grass because that was my outdoor job. And so here we go. Anyway, I hated dishes, and I don't know why. It's just one of them things. Maybe you guys have one of them chores you hate to do in your house. I'm going to challenge you on that in a bit. So let's go to verse 6, get back into our story here. So Jesus gets over to Simon Peter, who says to him, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Or he says, you're going to wash my feet with a question mark. Sorry. Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Now think about this for a second. I'm not sure if Peter and the guys are starting to feel guilty. You know, here it is, their Messiah washing their feet. Maybe James and John are watching us like, "Oh, why didn't we think of that? It's Jesus. We were just fighting over who gets to sit at his right left hand just a couple days ago." And Peter's like, "Yeah, but I walked on water with Jesus, so he's not washing my feet. I'm the guy." And maybe Andrew's like, "Yeah, but I scheduled all the meetings with Jesus. Anybody who wants to talk to Jesus, they went through this guy." And so maybe there's a little room full of pride. Maybe Bartholomew was like, "Well, I don't know what he said. That never says what he says, but whatever." You can sense maybe a room full of pride's happening here, and Jesus says, "I need to fix this. If there's one last thing I need to teach you guys, it's that we're going to not look to certain jobs and certain things about what we're not going to do to serve other people." So, our kids have chores. Just like many of you guys, you have chores for your kids, and it's super important to teach them how to serve. And chores do two things. They teach a kid how to work, and they teach a kid how to serve. Just so you know, my kids' chores is dishes, because that's how it's going to be. I did them. They're going to have to do them. But another reason that's important is because kids, when they're born, don't have the already instilled knowledge in them how to serve other people. They can't do anything, right, when they're born or a baby. And so they get a little hungry, and so they cry, and so their parents feed them, and then that's how they learn to get things. Okay, so that worked. And so their diaper gets a little full and doesn't feel good, so they cry, and their parents come and clean it up. So you learn as a child how to get by, how to get yourself taken care of, but you don't think about anybody else yet. It's just not taught. It's something you have to learn. And so I love chores because they teach you how to do that. So I don't know if Peter and the guys didn't get that message early on, but they're learning it, I think, as we speak. I think there's a little bit of, maybe they're just a little bit feeling guilty here. But I want to touch on that last verse there just for a second. Jesus answered him. He says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." Now he's speaking to Peter, and he's right. Peter's not going to get off the hook here. He's not going to be able to, in 3 years, say, "Well, you guys all let Jesus wash your feet, but not this guy." He's teaching the lesson here, but I want to speak bigger than that. Think about that phrase. Unless Jesus washes you, you have no part with him. And that's not to be scary, but I'm here to tell you that unless Jesus washes you, you have no part with him. And here's the deal. It's super easy. He paid the price. He did all the hard work. What cost Jesus everything costs us nothing but a surrendered lifestyle. And so maybe you're here today and you haven't thought that through yet. Maybe this is new to you, and I'm here to tell you that's okay. Tug on the shoulder next to you and say, "Tell me about this washing thing. How can I be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ?" I'll be down here after the service too. It's important you don't leave here not knowing what Jesus has done for you. And it's super free. It just depends on your decision today. Because unless Jesus washes you, you've got no part with him. Super important to know. Let's get back to the story. Verse 9. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Now he's on board, right? Wash everything. Jesus answers, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean." I want to stop here just for a second. This is big stuff. So Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and yet washed his stinking feet. He knew Judas was going to be the one to betray him, and washed his feet. He washed the feet of his betrayer. Now, I don't know about you guys, but to me, that tells me I don't get the right to not serve somebody. I don't get the right to hold a grudge anymore. Has anybody here been wronged by somebody? Only me? All right, got a couple. Has anybody here been betrayed by somebody? Guess what? You don't get to get off the hook and not serve them, is what Jesus is saying. And this is big stuff because it's so easy to look at all my friends here and say, I'm happy to serve you guys. I love to do it. It's super fun. But what about those ones that have wronged you? Ugh, it changes everything. And Jesus is saying, be like me. He's going to say that here in just a second. Go do these things. And so we don't get to say anymore, that chore's beneath me. This is big stuff. Let's finish this section up. So verse 12. "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place." "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that you, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I've done, for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Guess what? I, the servant, am not greater than my master Jesus. So I need to learn how to selflessly serve and wash feet like him. I don't get the right to say that chore is below me because Jesus did the chore of that life, that culture, the lowest one, to serve his people. So who am I to say that job's beneath me? When I think that way, I argue this statement right here. So let me touch on this last verse. This is the beauty of this. This is the so. This is the therefore. Verse 17 says, "Now that you know these things, you will be what? Blessed if you do them." You will be blessed if you serve. This is a promise right from Jesus. This is huge stuff. Servants. There's some servants in this room. I know this. There's some foot washers in here, right? Is Jesus right? Those of you who serve, are you getting blessings from that? I want to honor you guys this morning. I know we've already done a stand-up thing, but I want to do this again. There's a poll in most churches that say that 10% of the people do like all the work or 90% of the work. You guys ever heard that? We're gonna prove that false here this morning. So if you guys are servants, if you guys teach or have taught, maybe you're taking a sabbatical in the elementary wing, the preschool, the middle school, high school, if you guys have served there and taught there, please stand up with me today. But I want you to stay standing. Don't come on, don't be shy, you guys. I know you're out here everywhere. If you guys are door greeters, if you guys are the ones that put a hand in somebody's hand and say, "Welcome to CCW," and you smile with them and you laugh and encourage them, stand up with us. Sound booth, I know you guys work hard. You have the most thankless job probably in the place. And the praise team, if you guys serve there, please stand with us. If you guys are part of the yard maintenance team here, if I've missed you there, please stand with us. And if you're a red shirt or an usher, please stand, guys. I love that ushering ministry because I came through that, and I love to serve people the way God did there. If you guys are part of the widow's work team, please stand. If you've ever served there, I got to share a story on that. So this week, a couple of the men's group decided they're going to go serve a widow. And so they go there and they build a deck and they put in some French doors and fix a gutter, some things that were run down. They say, "Price is paid, no charge." That's the kind of people we got sitting around here. If you guys are part of, who have I missed? If you guys are bulletin stuffers or communion prep, or if you guys do anything around here during the week, or if you're in the resource center, please stand up with us. If you guys are part of the prayer team that come up here and serve people at the end, stand with us. If I missed your ministry, if you were discipling somebody, if you were mentoring somebody, if you were spending time leading a small group, that's serving people, stand with us. And if I've missed you, I'm super sorry if I missed your ministry, stand with us today if you're a part of one that I'm missing. So, look around. Is this 10%? Is Jesus right, foot washers? Are you being blessed by doing these things? Is he wrong or is this true? There are some foot washers in this room. I love you guys. I'm so thankful I get to serve and do this with you guys. Just go ahead and just clap for each other because this is what we do. This is what we do here. You guys can be seated. I'm going to keep you up all day. There's more standing to do probably here in a minute. But anyway, Jesus is right on this. And in your bulletins, by the way, those of you who are sitting, if you're not sure where to serve yet, tug on that shoulder right next to you. Say, "Hey, how can I get in on that deal?" Because it looks like you guys are having fun and you're getting blessed. And in your bulletins today, it's simple sermon notes today. Halfway down it says, "Where has God gifted you? What do you believe God has made you talented at?" And right below it, it says, "Where can I serve? Where can I start serving today to be a selfless servant here in this community?" And then there's some right below, there's some names and some numbers. You can get in on that. Just call up this week. "I'd love to do this. I think God's made me good at whatever." So you can get in on this blessing deal. Jesus was the ultimate selfless servant. And listen, I want to say something here. If you're a Christ follower, serving people is what you do. But it's also, more importantly, who you are. It's not about serving people, not about the do's of doing it. It's who you are. It's what you exist for. Because Jesus set the example long ago, did he not? He was serving us selflessly before we were even born. I love that stuff. So, it's Father's Day, right? I got to address the dads in the room. Fathers, I get to be one. It's super cool. But I got to talk to you guys just for a minute. Because we're talking about selfless service, I believe we set the tone. We lead the way. And man, you are called by God to be the servant spiritual leader of your home. You are called to set the example. You're not in charge, not necessarily the boss, but you are the servant spiritual leader of your home. And God's called you to do that. I said on Mother's Day that being a mom was the hardest job on the planet, and I still agree with that. But dare I say that being a dad is the most critical, the most influential. Dads, your selfless servanthood, the way you live your life, determines whether your family will follow you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Dads, your example, your lifestyle determines whether your children grow up and be Christ followers themselves and learn how to serve other people. Your example. I looked at some polls online, and very few polls vary far from this stat. So it says that when a mother comes to Christ, her family will follow her into church around 17% of the time. But when a dad comes to Christ, his family will follow him into church 93% of the time. Dads, you've got influence, and it's huge, and God has made you to be that. Dads, I want to look at one more example of selfless service, the very last one in Jesus' life. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 today, verse 3. I know it's about 80 or 100 pages to the right, depending on your Bible, but it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 3. This is the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus did for us. This is Paul describing the last act of selfless service for us. Verse 3, if you guys are there, says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others." Here's the best part. Dads, listen here. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a what? Servant. Being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Next word, "therefore." "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow on heaven and on earth and under earth." And under earth. "Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Jesus served even to death. Therefore, God blessed him. Dads, let's be like Jesus here. Just like Jesus didn't take his position to be something to be great, you know, he didn't even grasp being God. He didn't look high in his high position. We should be the same way. He became a servant, even to death on a cross, and we should follow that same example. We should be washing our family's feet. We should be speaking words of encouragement to our family and acting in humility so that they know what to follow. Started washing dishes a couple years ago in my house. So you guys know. And it wasn't because I wanted to get any pats on the back or anything. It's because I wanted to serve my wife. And I wanted to be something that was, and you know what? It's not the chore of doing the dishes. She's thankful of that. But more importantly, it's the attitude of my heart. It's the attitude that says I'm not bigger than that chore. It's the attitude that says I'm willing to selflessly serve, especially the ones I love. Because Jesus did. Also on Mom's Day, I talked about some of you guys who were very influential moms in my life. And I call some of you a mom to this day, and I'm honored to do that. But let me tell you something, there's some dads in this room. There's some dads in this room that have really encouraged me, and I've learned a lot from. And my greatest example, I was dancing with Jesus this morning, but I learned more from that man than I ever have anybody else in this place. And he was the biggest thing I got at him was how he selflessly served. I would take my wife out to the beach or something or go hang out, and he'd already beat me there. And he's sitting there with his wife having some takeout. Or he would crawl up on this stage, most times in pain, just so he could share what God had gifted him at. Him and I would go visit people in the hospital sometimes, and most of the time he was in more pain than the people we were visiting. But he wanted to share, and he wanted to selflessly serve. And so Dave was huge, and I miss him, but I learned a lot from him. And so we had a chance to spend a year in mentoring together. And we always used to talk about this one book we read where there was a saying by an unknown author. It was a Chinese proverb, and it said, "Wise is the man who plants a tree whose shade he will never enjoy." And so Dave used to tell me, "I planted a tree for you, and you're enjoying the shade." And so my challenge to you guys here is, dads, moms, everybody in here really, what tree are you planting? Who are you investing your time with? Who are you serving so that later down the road there can be some shade? And I guarantee you there's some shade trees around here Dave planted for you guys. I know that to be true. But we need to be washing feet. We need to be serving other people. It's the example we learn from. And I'm super honored to call him dad. But here's the deal. We're still here, and we got a long way to go. And church, I got a long way to go. I do, and I'm hoping, Dad, you'll hold me accountable. And I'm hoping, Dad, you'll come alongside me, encourage me, and help me out, and I'll do the same for you, I promise. Because we're not done here, and the job we have is super important. I'm going to do the best I can every day here, be more and more like Jesus. Dad, are you with me? Can we do this together? I want to get better at praying for and with my kids and talking about Jesus more with them. I want to put down my cell phone more and go out in the yard and play with my kids more. I want to not take the extra shift at work for a couple extra bucks and take my wife out on a date more. I want to not join my fifth fantasy football league this year and get into a men's group for accountability and encouragement so I can serve better. And I want to turn off that fake depressing news and go get in God's word more. Read about Jesus' habits. Read about how he served people. That's what I want to get better at. Dad, you with me here today? Will you dad stand with me? I want to close this service by praying with our dads. I know we've stood up a bunch already, but I want to do that. I think we should be praying for our dads. I think we should be encouraging them. The world is loving to tell you guys that you're no good and that you're silly, and that's not the way God made you. So we're going to leave here. I'm going to pray for you. We got a bundle for you on the way out. So coincidentally, there's 3 shop rags in here. You can't run out of shop towels, right? I mean, just there's so many. You could blow your nose in them, and I don't know. Here, you want this one? No. But coincidentally, I have 3 family members, and so maybe I can wash some feet with this today. Oh, and there's a Slim Jim too. But I want to close by praying with our dads. Can we do that? Let's pray for them. Let's encourage them. And look around, guys. Look around at these dads. They need to know that God made them in His image to go serve. You guys pray with me? Father, thank you so much. First of all, happy Father's Day, God. You're the ultimate dad. You're the ultimate example we want to live by. We want to live under your authority because it's good. I want to know how to be a better dad. Will you teach me how to encourage people? Will you teach me how to serve like I've never served before? And will you do that same thing for every man in this room? And will you give us the desire to leave this place and go plant some trees that the next generation is going to get to enjoy the shade of? Father, I'm fully aware that we're sitting here today because 11 men on the side of the hill said, "Yes, sir," when Jesus said, "Go make disciples." So who are we to say a job is beneath us? Who are we as dads to say, I'm going to let that stop here? We're not going to do that here today. Father, I know that you've called our dads out to be the hands and the feet in this crazy world, and you are going to encourage us. You are going to give us the blessing. That's the therefore, that's the so. I love you, Dad. I love you. Happy Father's Day to you, and I'm just so thankful for this gift of Jesus we celebrated this morning. It's in His mighty name we pray. Amen.